Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is AFL Round 13, all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, you got a highlight of the week past?
Well, it's kind of a double-sided highlight, really, and it was just I realised something this last week. I could probably kill off AFL. It's a bit concerning because watching the World Cup, Aussie v France, what a match. It was entertaining. There was a nice punch from behind the pack that we saw.
It's a good spoil.
That old Danny Frawley would be proud
defender,
of. But the controversy came around from the VAR, the first ever video action replay that went to the ump. Aussie, I can't remember his name, let's be honest, I couldn't pronounce it if I did, tripped up one of the French attackers and gave away a penalty. I'm no expert on the rules, but if that's what the rule is, that's what the rule is. But the thing that could revolutionise the game and possibly make it overtake AFL as the greatest game in the world is the fact they're using the VAR. If they can use that for trips, they can use it for staging. And I think it was in the second half, some French guy goes down like he's been shot, and they showed the action replay and they got nowhere near him. If you can do that and red card the motherfuckers that are staging when they got nowhere near, the game suddenly will clean up in 2 weeks and it'll actually be a game that'll attract a lot of people. So there you go, Gil. If you can figure out a way to maybe sync that, or even better, if you can take over FIFA, because let's be honest, if AFL doesn't mind a bit of cash, but FIFA fucking loves it.
Yeah, I reckon red card's a bit harsh for staging,
fuck it.
Though.
So red what, card.
So what they should do instead, all right, is if he pretended he got elbowed in the head and you go, well, you're staging, okay, now you're a defender, he gets a free elbow in the head. And he can use it any time during the game.
Yep.
So he's got that trump card. He can use it. You're like, oh, see, it didn't come this time,
he's
did it?
Gotcha.
And then if he goes, oh, and falls down again, you go, well, mate, now he's got two.
Exactly.
Now he's got one up his sleeve.
It should be like the NHL, where you've got like...
enforcers?
You just have a couple of swings, and someone goes into the sin bin for a little while. Oh, what they call it? It's called the penalty box. Penalty boxes. So
I reckon Barry Hall will be interested in representing Australia at the World Cup.
I think we were talking during the week, Brenton and I, that Joe Rogan could never go to the Olympics for archery purely because of the drug testing.
Yeah.
I don't think Barry Hall is going to get back into professional sport for similar reasons.
Yeah.
Different drugs, though, I'd say.
Yeah, and on the World Cup, just saw Mexico managed to beat Germany, which I stayed up and watched. And they cheered that loud after the goal was scored that it registered on the Richter scale.
It's not called a Richter scale anymore. But anyway, earthquake.
Apparently there was a lady in a public pool or something that died because of a retaining wall or something fell down.
Shit.
And asked the rest of the country, worth it.
Yeah.
Good way to go.
I miss your mama, but we won.
And Brenton, you got a highlight for the week past?
Yeah, a couple of things. Well, staying on, actually, Herb Dean. I saw you attended the Tigers game. He's a Tigers fan now.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was there with
I didn't know that.
Sam Lloyd and a few other boys in the stands.
Oh, good on him.
Don't know what he's doing in the country, but I mean, not want to start rumours, but I feel like Dusty versus CM Punk could be on the cards.
That's not fair. That's not even close to fair. You pick somebody else.
Well, they're talking about Dusty's been training up his boxing, and I mean, you don't need jiu-jitsu when you're fighting CM Punk, let's be honest.
Or boxing, really.
Yeah, this is true. So I reckon, yeah.
You could probably fend him off into submission.
How about CM Punk versus Alistair Lynch?
Yeah, that could almost be fair, but I still think you struggle to get Lynch down to that appropriate weight category. Also, I saw some news that came out just a couple of hours ago that obviously Optus have not been
Floptus.
going too well with their coverage of the World Cup.
I don't think it was a couple of hours ago. I think it was all weekend.
Yeah, but
the latest?
It didn't help that they were usually on a legal stream. but they've come out and said that for the next 48 hours, they're actually going to allow SBS to show the games for them.
Right. Because I saw the head of SBS came out today and said, you know, maybe we can do something. We'll take some of the games back. Since they can't show them.
Yeah. Well,
to be fair, it's probably the cheaper option because Optus is giving that up, but there will be lawsuits left, right and centre.
Yeah.
If people have paid for a service and can't get it for a once-off event like this.
I think refunds rather than lawsuits.
But, yeah. Well, actually, they aren't giving up their simulcasting, but let's be honest, no one's going to be watching the Optus feed.
Not anymore.
No.
Why would you?
But to top that off, like the AFL crowd, when shit goes pear-shaped, like at Waverley Park that time when the lights went out, you know, riot, and there was a tiny little fire and one goalpost went down. That shit happens at soccer and people die.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt.
If the AFL app goes down and you can't watch it, people will be a bit upset, but they'll, you know, stream it and figure out a way. Soccer crowd don't do that. They don't play that shit.
Especially
they will riot.
Once, in, like you say, once every four-year event. It's not, you know, the weekend's games. It's World Cup. It's kind of big, and they've kind of invested a lot in it, Optus. Yeah. But yeah, it's good enough that even the Prime Minister came out and said, I've made a call. So, well, you know, I think you want a headline. But anyway, that's the way it goes.
He was very upset with their coverage of the foot soccer thing.
Yes, he did say that the Parramatta Sea Rabbitohs were very disappointing over in Russia. Yeah. All right, so we might as well go through the footy since there's only six games. I tell you what, six games spread out over 4 days. I didn't really notice it. Like, that it was sparse, you know?
I
it felt like
realize
there's
you
a
just
game
said
on.
It.
Yeah,
no,
there
I
you
didn't
go.
Mind it.
It wasn't so bad. Usually, you know, if there's two games on, I'm flicking between it, and there wasn't any real crossover over the weekend. A little bit on Saturday, but.
But it's smart to do it on the weekend that you've got the rugby on, the cricket on, and the World Cup on.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. At one stage, it was the cricket. Nick Kyrgios is playing. There was the.
Rugby?
Yeah, Aussie rugby, and also.
One day.
The World Cup. Yeah, the cricket.
The soccer, yeah.
And Australia lost all of them.
They can only do the Thursday games when it is buys because it makes it easier with 5 and 6 day breaks.
Yeah.
So that's why they're doing
it. We were saying, instead of like the World Cup just soccer, while they had doing them all on the same day, it should be like a heptathlon or something where you've got one team and that's play all the
play
sports.
All of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
See who comes out ahead of that one. I feel like the rugby players would be tearing up that soccer pitch.
Well, France has got
for the first 15 minutes.
Yeah. France has got a good rugby side as well.
Actually,
they can compete
bad.
In that. I reckon we've got them in the cricket, unless they pull out their own rules, which they'd be known to do. Exactly. Anyway, so we all started on Thursday night with the Power and the Bulldogs. Power got off to an absolute flyer, and then it went bad for the Bulldogs.
Yep.
It went actually got worse after that. So Easton Wood's gone for a fair while, and McRae as well. It was a little Brownlow fancy for a lot of people too.
He was looking good. He was having a blinder of a season. No one's arguing that, but he's gone for the season, isn't he? I think they're talking about
2 or 3 weeks.
Only 2 or 3.
Yeah,
I think it was Wood's gone for a fair season.
Wood looked much, much worse.
I must have been listening to Doc Larkins then. He said he was cactus.
Yeah. So what'd you make of the game?
I'm never interested when I see Port Power play generally, but since they beat the Tigers, I was hoping that maybe Western Bulldogs could get over it. But I feel like that this is a confidence booster for Port. I feel like after beating the Tigers, they've put another on the board, winning in style. But it wasn't an interesting game to watch, I'm going to be honest.
No, it felt like the result was never in doubt.
Yeah. The only thing worth watching was Robbie Gray. He's a fucking champion.
Wingard had a good game as well.
Yeah, he's
got right. plenty of the ball. And he's probably picking on a bit of consistency now, which is kind of scary because the one thing that you could sort of knock Port Adelaide for was inconsistent performers from some of their higher play players, but they've started to pull it all together now.
He plays well in space and he's been getting a lot of space the last couple of weeks.
I feel like Jack Watts is just a black hole of inconsistency. He's just sucked it up from all around.
I think he got kicked 3 in the sample, Jack Watts, because they play Melbourne next week, so that'll be the return game if he makes his way back in. Don't know if he will or not.
Well, Lindsay Thomas wasn't terrible, so I don't know.
I think so. I think that's about it too.
Yep.
It wasn't terrible. Kicked the first goal, I think.
Yeah. Didn't get reported.
But it was funny with when Wood went down and then McRae, and you thought, how could this get worse? The only way it could get worse is
Kerry Wallace decided to coach.
Is if Bontempelli got injured. And then Bontempelli went off injured. Like, oh, shit. Came back on, though, so it's all right.
And you just don't see where the Bulldogs go from here. They're just in absolute shambles.
Yeah.
Like, there's not really a plan.
Well, I thought they showed endeavour. I mean, it wasn't like they were terrible. They were beaten by a better side, and then they were running out of numbers.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they still put 75 points on the board, and it didn't look like they were going to do that at one stage.
Yeah, especially playing down in Adelaide as well.
Yeah, it's not an easy trip over there, of course. No. And Power have had a resurgence in the last couple of weeks. I think they're firmly inside the eight now. It's not an easy trip by any stretch. It wasn't the worst of the Bulldogs I've seen this year.
No,
I think that's to come.
Yeah, I feel like they've still got some.
It's going to be hard now. Misery without Wood
and McRae for a little bit.
I mean, the good thing is they actually got harsh with selection this week and dropped a couple of premiership players. So at least they got somebody to call back.
Well, that's Wallace, true. Wallace was in and he didn't look about too bad.
He looked all right. There's rumours that he's on the march as well. So,
well, Wallace and Dalhouse are two that they're talking about going. So, look, if you're there at the moment, you'd have to say there's not a lot of reason to stay.
Well, I mean, how can they fall so fast? I mean, I have an answer to it because they won a premiership 2 years ago and now they look like a shambles.
Yep.
But remember, when they won the premiership, they finished seventh.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they weren't even top four, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true.
They played the best footy in September and they won. There's no questions there. So, but I mean, this season's done, and they've got to start looking at, all right, who do we need to bring in?
And the answer is everybody.
Yeah, I mean, even like Tom Boyd was probably played his best game for the year, but that's not really saying much.
It's not enough. Yeah. Yeah.
And you look at it and you think, all right, what player would I want to take? Like, what player would I give up my team's best player to get? And there's
Bontempelli.
He's it.
Yeah. Well,
you can make an argument for McRae.
You would have, yeah, but you wouldn't have. Before the season started.
No. And even now, you're like, oh, you know, he's had a good 12 rounds, 13 rounds. Will he come back for the injury okay? Will he be able to run out the season or will he be hobbling?
Yeah.
And there's just so many people who were stars in that final series that they won that just not doing much anymore. I mean, injuries obviously have played massive roles.
They haven't helped.
I don't know if they've just had to rush him back just to get some boots in the park or what it was.
It does. It just looks weird. Like, something's changed. Like, yeah. The premiership has not helped.
And Johannesson was almost, like, untouchable when he was running through the middle of half back.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. He just looks like he's lost a step and looks like the injuries that he's had are obviously taking a toll on what sort of game he usually plays.
Well, remember with Johannesson too, his disposal wasn't always the best. Yeah, it was true. A bit of a hack kick.
Yeah.
But the rest of the players were good enough to make a contest and get the ball.
Yeah.
Now, they aren't that good. You go, well, mate,
Now he's got no Eastern Wood to sit with him shoulder to shoulder as well.
Yeah.
But I think too that the game plan's been figured out along that. Like, as soon as he starts running boundary, everyone stacks that 40-metre away boundary contest. So they know they can leave their player and run to that contest because he's not good enough to pick out a player. Yeah. But having said that, look, they've still got good ingredients. They're not a bottom four side by any stretch.
Yeah.
Only because the bottom four side are fucking terrible.
It's hard to be that bad to get in the bottom four.
I'm going
to
say, they are bottom five side though. I just had to check that. all right. On to Friday night, Sydney versus West Coast. Tight game, tough game, not a pretty game.
No. But I thought the Eagles did better than I expected them to do over in Sydney.
I don't think we had any pretty games over the weekend, really. But I don't think a game has to be pretty to be enjoyable. I enjoy ugly footy sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, when it's just that harsh contest. And I felt like there was lots of it here. Eagles probably shagged their chances a fair bit. Yeah. 7-15
doesn't help.
But it was a good contested match. And Sydney and Eagles have been for the last 20 years.
But it always felt like Sydney had more options. There was always a way to throw.
Yeah, which they did.
But there was that one section in, I think it was in the third quarter, where Buddy got about four free kicks in the space of 4 minutes.
Yep.
There was a decent mayo on a couple of those too.
Yeah, and it was very interesting because the diving's been in the news, obviously, the last couple of weeks, with a couple of fines handed out. Friday night game, so they do the assessment on Saturday morning, and Michael Christensen came out and said nothing to answer for, and there were no incidents worth looking at. I thought, really?
Yeah.
That's the line you're going with. Didn't even want to say, I looked at it and I think it's fine. Just, nothing to look at.
Nothing to see here.
He was hungover, wasn't he? He was just like, fuck that.
I think he fell asleep. He might have been up watching the soccer. And he missed the game. I thought, I didn't think that Rance deserved all what he got last week either. I didn't think this was staging, but I would have, if I was him, I would have gone out, I look at it, I think it's fine. He exaggerated a little bit, but it's fine.
Yeah. Well, I think
that's just all he had to say.
He's just used to the post-match presser where the coach says, oh, I haven't seen the incident, yeah. So I can't comment on it. He's done the same thing.
Actually, yeah, there was a good one. It was pointed out on one of the footy shows. I can't remember which one. They were talking to Luke Beveridge for the Bulldogs at the airport. And he said, you know, about selection. He goes, oh, well, you know, we're going to make those selection choices very soon. Well, actually, we're on the plane now. I think we've already made them, really, haven't we? But it just that lying is just automatic. He's like, well, actually, you know, he's not on the plane, so he's not going. But anyway, the Swans, it felt like it was their game to lose, didn't it?
Yeah, it was. And they've just got, they were going through that rough patch. I mean, not including last year at the start, but where, well, actually last year at the start as well, where the Stars went firing, so no one else would step up, and that's where they really struggled. But now they've got Ronke, you've got Jake Lloyd stepping up.
Yeah.
Heaney's got a little bit more consistency with a little bit less pressure on him now because they have to cover more of a spread.
Florent's looking great.
I love Florent.
Yeah, it's his best game.
Although he got nominated for the Rising Star the week before, so he's got form.
Yeah.
But there was one point, I can't remember who he went up and might have been Lysette, the ruckman. You know, just to throw his weight around. I thought, Oliver, just leave it a couple of years, champ.
Stay in your lane.
Let's not worry about that one just yet.
Well, he still had Rampy not having a big game at all. Same as Papley, but everyone else steps up, so you make it very hard to be able to cover them when they're going to be firing like that.
And let's face it, you know, with Buddy, 2 goals, 5. I mean, you're going to get that with him sometimes.
Yep.
It's just, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Kieran Jack's first game back for a while. I thought, obviously, they're happy with him out there because McVay wasn't playing. Mm. But it did look like a few times it was half a step off it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then when that happens, you get unlucky as well. You know, the ball doesn't bounce that way and a 50-50 call goes against you and you're just like, it must be so infuriating.
Bit of ring rust.
I just want to be back.
Yeah, bit of ring rust.
Shit's not going your way.
But yeah, a win always helps you get over those.
It does.
But it's also the possession is what won it at Sydney. Like that, when you've got the top 20 possession getters, 14 of them are Sydney.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to.
Well, they've got the ball, obviously.
Yeah. They just look better. And the funny thing is, everyone tips Sydney.
Yeah, you'd think, you know, with Eagles on a, what are they, a 10 match winning streak before this?
Something like that.
I look at all the tips, and everyone in my tipping comp, everyone picks Sydney.
Yeah, same. I thought, I'll give a sneaky one here. I reckon I'll be able to get ahead. And then I looked at the odds, and it's like, no, Sydney, a favourite. Yeah. Shit. But I think also without Darling, he's such a potent weapon up forward.
Isn't he? And having a career best year until he done his ankle. So and
Kennedy's still, I don't think he's right. I think he's come back from injury from the start of the season.
Didn't have a pre-season, obviously. So.
Yeah. So he's not at 100%. And when he's on song, he's obviously brilliant. Obviously being a former Coleman winner. But, look, Eagles, they're still trotting along, but Sydney and Sydney's never an easy matchup, especially when they can get that much ball.
Yeah, they had it on their terms for most of the night. All right, on to the Saturday games, and the first one was Carlton v Freo. What do we say?
Well, I think Carlton did brilliantly in the second half to at least get to 30 points, because it looked like they were only going to get to about 10.
But how many times have we seen Freo do this, though? Especially in the last couple of years. They'll get up and they go, meh, it's done.
Yeah.
Well, they've only just got Sanderlands and Fife back in the side, so I imagine they didn't want to.
Fife was killing it, too.
He didn't even. He got bored
giving
him that much of a hiding, because the lead up to this was, oh, let's see Cripps and Fife go at it. And it was just really a clinic.
And then it was, can we see somebody go to Fife? Can somebody?
Yeah.
Anybody.
Yeah.
And Ed Curnow went to him, who's a really good stopper, but it looked like junior footy. We go, I think he should go up a grade.
Yeah.
You know, he's just, you know, it's not really fair.
Yeah, but that's like trying to bring Shane Warne on when someone's already hit 150 runs. It's, mate, should have got
horses
him on,
bolted.
Got him on way back when. Now he's in form. His eyes in.
Booing from the Carlton faithful.
At the half time. Yeah.
Mind you, when they were 0-7. So. Yeah,
I'd be. I mean, you're just happy they rocked up at that point, I think.
Yeah, a little bit.
Get some cash out of the game.
So I don't think we learned anything from Freo about this one. But I mean, the first half was great, but then they took the foot off the gas.
Yep.
Yeah, they just didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, it just preserved themselves, really.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, Cripps gets plenty of the ball, but 26 handballs, that's a lot of fucking around.
Yeah. But that means he hasn't got options as well.
Exactly.
It means he's being contained and he's facing the wrong way.
Yeah. Yep.
Or he's looked up and gone, there's nobody there, just got to get rid of it.
7 marks, and I think a lot of those were just fucking around in halfback, looking for someone to make space and get a lead, but just didn't happen. I mean, and that's one of the ones where you go, all right, Are we going to blame the coach? Are we going to blame the players? What are we going to do?
It's just it's Carlton. They just haven't got a good enough best 22.
Yeah,
and half of them are injured.
Yeah,
especially Doherty and stuff. So they're not playing good, and they haven't got good enough players to begin with.
Well, the stories running around is that they might ask Murphy if he wants to finish his career somewhere else. They're getting that desperate.
I think Murphy might ask them as well. Like, well, you know what? I've been through a few wooden spoons.
Yeah,
I'm actually the product of one of them.
Yeah.
But if they did, you know, move him on, they'd get decent compensation, obviously.
They'll get, yeah, I'm going to say, if he's a free agent, because trade, they won't get much for him because he's 30 with a history of injuries.
Yeah, I mean, they're not good at the negotiating table either. They've led, like, stars for the last 10 years.
Oh, they've made a lot of stars, just for other teams.
What could Adelaide do with him if they traded off some unknown SANFL player?
You have Gibbs and Murphy back in the... How bad would it be to have a Carlton midfield of Jacobs, Gibbs, Murphy, them playing finals? You're like, guys, we had you for 10 years.
We've got this fella Watts.
And then, you know, those in the midfield, kicking it down to Eddie Betts, you're like, fuck me. Actually, no, I like it now. It sounds good. All right, there's shit. On to one of the surprising games of the round. Gold Coast Suns going in easy at three-quarter time.
This was one that fucked me up. Like, I tipped the Suns, and I was looking at a clean sweep, a perfect six for this round. Fucking bastards.
I tipped the Saints. I thought the Saints had got this. And then half time, I was going in the apps. I thought, I wonder if there's a bug where I can change my tips. I had the faith, though. I stuck with them. I had no choice. Yeah. My brave tip will come up later. We'll get to that. It was funny. I didn't watch much of the first three quarters, but I was lucky enough to catch the last quarter when it all happened. And as soon as the Saints got the first two, you could see it.
Yeah.
Like, this is happening. They've got this.
Yeah.
And it isn't funny when you're one goal down with, a minute 20, 2 minutes to go, the ball's in the centre, you always win that clearance.
You find it, don't you?
There is I reckon there's a 90% success rate of winning that first clearance.
Yeah.
Teams across the board. It just always happens.
And it's amazing with two teams this bad and how they actually managed to make into an exciting game eventually.
Well, it's probably the most exciting game of the weekend.
Yeah.
Go close with the Sunday late game. But St Kilda were just so clean in that last minute.
Yeah.
The last quarter.
If they could put together a whole game, they wouldn't be as bad. They'd still be pretty shit.
Yeah. But
they wouldn't be this bad.
But the other thing is, too, if you kick zero goals two for a final quarter, you're going to struggle. If you kick zero goals two for four final quarters in a row...
Yeah, it says there's something wrong there, doesn't it?
Your conditioning's cactus.
Well, a bit of depth there. Sandringham, who are the Sandringham of the Saints B team, they didn't score a goal in the VFL.
North goals nine.
I mean, it was torrential downpour it was ice hockey, but
I heard that too, that they didn't kick a goal for the first time in their history.
Yeah.
And then I saw some of the clips on Twitter. And I went, nah, fair enough.
Yeah.
The other team didn't score a goal at halftime either.
Yeah. You literally couldn't see the other end of the field.
To nothing.
No, it was terrible.
You could have water skied through there.
Yeah. When you look at it and you go, North goals nine, fair enough, boys. Don't worry about it. You just forget that.
Let's forget that and make fun of them again.
Saints are going shit and so is their B team. Carlton's going shit, so is their B team.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we got a little bit of inside knowledge on and apparently...
Something very interesting with the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah, they're coaches. So they had a training session on...
Recovery session.
Recovery session, was it? Yep. Recovery session. So
like every team does it the day after the game?
Yep, everyone's supposed to rock up. And none of the coaches rocked up except for one. One coach rocked up. Not the head coach.
No, one of the assistants rocked up and looked around and said, where's everyone else?
Yep.
So he didn't even know that none of the other coaches were rocking up.
So some interesting shit going on up there at Gold Coast. I don't know what's happened, but...
There you go. There's a little insider.
Know if it's rats from a sinking ship or if...
Well, Jew's not going anywhere because he's committed for at least the next couple of years.
Well, he's his first-year coach. They're not going to sack him after 1 year.
Exactly. And if they did sack him, who else is going to take all that fucking job?
The only other person with a contract.
There's been lots of talk during the week about the Gold Coast and GWS and just, you know, the money hasn't worked.
Yep.
Because, let's face it, they started in 2011. It's now 2018. They are in a worse position today than they were in 2011.
Yeah. And you look at Ablett, who they obviously traded back to Geelong. He's becoming a star again. And you start to think, well, people like that don't want to come here, then how do we actually rebuild this team if we bleed our young talent and the stars that we did get, we traded off anyway?
And if their next captain leaves as well,
yeah,
you know, which everyone's been talking about Lynch. So
yeah, you always have to, you know, just stick a fork in it.
Well, who would have thought a professional sports team on the Gold Coast would fail?
Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting if he does leave, though, and the AFL goes, yeah, compensation are 7 first-round draft picks.
If they did it, you go, that's unfair, and I completely understand.
Well, they're bringing in mid-season trading, aren't they? So, I mean, those 7 could end up anywhere.
We could fuck that up.
Yeah.
They could bring in insider training. It wouldn't help them. But where do they go?
Tassie next week. That's all they can do is just take it 1 week at a time.
And stay.
Try and clear a win or two out of the back end of the season, which I can't see happening because their injury list is getting worse. And when you're in a position like this as well, you got that little niggle, you think, you know, fuck this.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what? I'm going to go, give me the knife, you know.
It'd be hard to be motivated in this team.
You don't really need a knife for Rugburn, but, you know, don't want to be too careful.
I want to be positive about Gold Coast, but there's not much.
No, there's nothing.
And it's at the point now where this season or next season, you've got to ask the question, are we going to get more of them out of Tasmania? Because if they move, then North won't.
He says hopefully. But the last thing about the Saints, though, on the other side of the coin, when it got down to you know, one goal needed, I would have put the house on Jade Gresham.
Yeah.
It was always going to be Gresham. If they were going to kick that goal, it was Gresham.
Well, he's been one of the standouts that we've talked about, you know, consistency in the forward line and consistency everywhere, really. He's been that one that you know, they can hang a hat on and say, all right, this is a guy that we've got to try and keep. And it's one position that's filled. The rest of them, just got to rearrange the jigsaw and figure out where they actually go.
But he's clean. Like, there's plenty of other players who have more touch of the ball, more,
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Four-quarter impact, but he is just so clean when he gets the ball, and he loves a goal.
Doesn't he? And he can kick him.
And I don't mind that.
This is the second time he's kicked the winner. You know, he obviously did it, I think, against Geelong a couple of years ago as well.
And that goal wasn't his goal either.
God, no.
Like, snapshot on the run from the pocket.
But no doubt, as soon as it left his boot, he knew exactly where it was going.
Yep.
So that's a good result for the Saints, and they needed a positive.
Dom Lynch just bumping his price up nicely.
Yeah, I don't think his price is going to go down any. he's already got top dollar, but yeah.
Well, no one's taken it off him at the moment in his own team, and if he does go, wherever he goes, he's going to be paying top dollar anyway.
Of course they are.
Gold Coast and the AFL.
I'm going to say, the thing is, he can make more money on the Gold Coast, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So he'll be leaving for less money and more wins.
Yep.
So unfortunately, that's the Gold Coast can't really dangle the money carrot because he's interested elsewhere. On to Saturday night, Hawks and the Crows. It's a pretty dismal first half, and to be honest, one quarter was all this game was.
Yeah, but it was a dismal day in Melbourne.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
26,000 at this game.
Oh wow, that's
fuck all.
Yeah, that's fuck all. probably no Saints, no Crow supporters, because fuck, go and watch that shit. even if you were there by halftime, third quarter, you were not sticking around for that.
No.
Unless it was to get a what for from your team, but apparently they took to Twitter for that. So
I did see that. We want answers, AFC or whatever.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah,
hashtag we want answers. Yeah, thanks, Knackers from Croydon.
I mean, they had 2 points. The photo guy hadn't been updated yet, so there is that.
Well, they did have a couple of good points, for, like you say, stuff like that, the fan engagement stuff. I do the whole rhetoric around Adelaide this year has been great, especially from the fans, the loyal fans,
because
they're like, no, nothing's wrong. Yeah. And then the club's coming out and go, oh, well, there's a little bit something.
Yeah,
like,
a bit of this.
Yeah, yeah, but that's it, though. That's it, nothing. They go, wow, actually, you know, it could have been a little bit bigger. Yeah, but no, that's fine. Then, yeah, that's fine. Right, what's a little something?
We've got Pumper Hawthorn. All right, fucking burn the memberships.
And then, you know, oh, no, Sloane's injuries. It's nothing. And the club, no, 1 week. Wow, maybe 10.
Maybe we're just going to trade him, actually.
He's out for 3 weeks. What's he doing? Real estate shopping over in Melbourne.
We talked last week about how would Sicily and Tex Walker go with the banter and then the sledging. It's one thing to be standing, and he'd spent a fair amount of time on Tex, standing the captain and main target up forward.
Yeah,
it's another thing to actually outscore him from centre half back.
It's kind of hard to win the sledge battle when that happens.
Yeah, you just go, oh, well, you keep your mouth shut, don't you?
You don't really have a leg to stand on.
Nice goals, too.
And you can guarantee he let him know about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because you would.
You'd have to. Like, I think if he didn't, somebody else would have gone up and go, look, sis.
You right, mate?
Can I say it for you? Dermy would have run out there and said it for him.
Are you okay?
We did say that in the call, Dermy said he liked Sis so much that he wouldn't mind Sis in his number in 23.
Yep.
Only concern was the suspensions. Not enough of them.
Not enough.
So he needs to get on the knuckle.
He's killing it at the moment, Sicily. So I reckon he's just about a lock for all Australian.
Well, he's just about due for another suspension too, so see how he goes. Yeah, he got through this one.
He's done all right. He hasn't been suspended since round, I'm going to say, 4. So
yeah, about that.
Yeah, he's done all right. The lowest score from Adelaide since Neil Craig's last coaching game. He got sacked afterwards, obviously.
So you're saying they're due for a premiership run?
Well, no, not at all.
Nope.
Don't know why that would come up.
Black came in after that.
After Neil Craig? Try again.
Nah, Black was way before that.
This is about, Blight was 96, Neil Craig was 2011.
I forgot about him.
But yeah.
And the other three in between.
This puts Adelaide a game and a fair chunk of percentage out of the eight with a tough...
Well,
they need to win this one, really.
Their next month is the toughest month going around.
Yeah, they need some results to go their way, and they needed to win this one, which hasn't happened. And one thing about, as we know from Adelaide teams, is their media are ruthless.
Yep.
And as soon as you get that negative media press, it puts so much pressure on you that it makes it compounds like your bad performances. So,
jeez, imagine seeing Michelangelo Rucci actually support Port and bag Adelaide.
Oh, just
I know he loves bagging Adelaide.
That's the other side, is Port's had a couple of good wins.
Just imagine seeing him so you could punch him in the...
But they've had bad press from September last year through. I mean, there hasn't been many good news.
Well, it's just little nuggets of worst press that come out that people are going to jump on.
Right now, is if Rory Sloane was going to stay, now would be the time to announce it. Wouldn't it? Like, you know what? I'm fucking in.
If.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because let's be honest, if you haven't signed by now, you ain't.
No, I'd say it's 75% that he's gone, and if he hasn't signed yet. But.
Yeah.
Well, where do you see him going? Because there's plenty of teams that'll take him.
Yeah. It'll be somebody up the top that's looking at a tilt, like a Melbourne. Collingwood have always got money.
Yeah.
And they always find it. Even West Coast or Sydney?
That'd be, yeah.
Just imagine if Sydney got it.
Yeah.
It'd be worth it just to see Eddie Maguire lose his shit again.
Yeah. I'm happy with that.
Yeah,
it's a win-win. Well, anyway.
Imagine if he ends up the Gold Coast, though. He'd be like, I have messed this up.
No, it's his choice where he goes.
Yeah, pretty much.
AFL players have that. Sean Burgoyne, obviously 350 and kicks a late goal. They were going on about it all day, but it deserved it.
And then their reunion for...
78, 88, and 2008.
Yeah.
All three reunions were there.
Everyone came back. Even Jordan Lewis came back.
It's funny because they had Jordan Lewis, obviously playing for Melbourne. He was in the Hawthorn rooms. They had Bradley Hill, who's currently playing for Freo.
Yeah.
Had Luke Hodge, currently playing for Brisbane. Had Sam Mitchell, currently coaching in West Coast.
Yep.
Brent Guerrero was there, who's coach at Freo. So they've spread themselves out.
They reckon.
Even had Will Langford in there.
Well, he didn't play in that, but yeah.
Didn't no, he was just in the change room though. He didn't deserve to be.
They had his he had his old man there. He played in 88.
Oh yeah, that's
his old
true.
Man could have run out after half time and done more.
Yeah.
Oh, he could have with that chin of his. He could have chiselled somebody real easy.
And this win from Hawks puts them only percentage out of the eight with North. That could be a good battle going into the last half of the season. Seeing
North got a pretty easy run. Like, we play the bottom seven sides.
Yeah, but
Hawks... So do Hawthorn.
Hawks usually are the easy run.
Yeah,
Hawthorn. They've been pulling it out against the big teams.
We've got the bottom seven sides left. I honestly, that eighth spot, watch out for GWS.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just queuing up. They'll take some big scalps on the back end.
Yeah, but they're always injury prone, so it's one thing you can
They're starting to come back. Scully will be back soon.
I've totally forgot about Scully, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry about that. They're getting tuned up. My brave tip of the round was Geelong over Richmond at the MCG, which was silly by the end of it. Richmond, just fitness, really, showed it. And they've showed that a lot. In the last quarter, Geelong just didn't have the legs to go with them.
No, and you can see the composure. Just obviously, it being a wet weather game definitely helped the Tigers. Because we're sort of a higher fitness and a small running team. And with Geelong having like Blitzars, who I thought played a decent game.
Yeah, it's a good year.
Yeah, yeah. Just wasn't a weather game that was going to be to their skill advantage. It was always going to be to the Tigers' advantage.
Yeah.
And yeah, even Dusty had a quiet game. Didn't do a whole lot. Popped up when he needed to, but it was,
as he does.
It was a team effort, yeah. Even Castagna didn't have a good night in front of the goals, but he still put in 100% effort for the whole day. And I thought that our back line, while not perfect, and Rance definitely had some real errors, especially trying to pick the ball off the deck, the rest of them picked up, and the young fella,
first gamer.
Yeah, I thought, what's his name again?
Graithwaite or something?
Graithwaite or something like that. Yeah, I thought he had a good match, you know, for a first gamer getting a big task. He was on Tom Hawkins straight off the bat. Hawkins got a couple, but he didn't dent his confidence. He still was in there. Playing a good effort.
He did well, and I think he only got the call up the day before or something like that as well.
Yeah,
Garthwaite it was. Garthwaite, pretty close. And he's a mature age as well, so it's not like he's an 18-year-old kid coming in. But he's one of those blokes that's been around in the system, been at the club for a few years, and then you know what? Now's your chance.
Yeah,
and he might not play, you know, 10 games.
No. Well, he came in for Asprey, who's had a pretty solid year as well. So, you know, he was someone who needed to be able to hold his own.
Yeah. And if Asprey's right, Garthwaite's going to drop straight back out. That's the, you know, the reality of it and the sad thing about it. But he's at his moment in the sun.
Yeah.
Albeit, you know, rain.
Yeah. I thought Grimes had a better match than Rance. I thought he was solid in the back line.
I keep telling you, he's underrated, Grimes.
Yeah.
Question. If a player infringes on a mark, say, like chopping arm, whatever, umpire calls it, but the player plays on and the ball goes forward, does it count as a free kick if they never take the free kick?
Yeah.
Whether they call it a free kick or a mark?
Free kick.
I'm not sure. No idea.
If it's a free kick and he plays on, it's still a free kick, yeah.
Yeah. But if it's a free kick but he takes the mark and they let the mark go?
It's still a free kick. If they paid the free kick, it's a free kick. Even if he marks it, it's still a free kick.
I'm just wondering, because I know they pay a free kick for holding the ball as well, which makes the numbers 28 to 25 in frees. I'd be interested to see the numbers on purely infringement-based.
Oh, yeah, okay. So now I know what you're talking about. Yeah, because when it's holding the ball decision, usually it's actually rewarding a tackler.
Yeah.
It's not penalising another player, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, the other player did fuck up. But he didn't break the rules.
Yeah, exactly. He got caught. So it's weird how... when you've had a brilliant rundown tackle and then it counts as a free kick four, which feels, you know, like you didn't really earn it.
Yep.
But you did. So it's a different kind of free kick. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's just stat building, really. It doesn't make a difference.
Weren't the best across the whole weekend. So, I mean, that's true. Something to always take into account. I thought Jack Graham getting big roles on the midfielders for Geelong, I thought he did well. He wasn't an offensive player at all for the game, but he was just always going to be sort of a holding down role. Put a little bit of time on Selwood and also on Dangerwood.
Dangerfield.
Dangerfield, sorry.
Yep.
Dangerwood. It's just stuck in my head now. I think he got like 13 tackles or something. So he was always not giving up.
Especially on Danger, because he looked like at times he was going to take the game on.
He did. And at times he also popped up and second and third efforts were there. Yeah. But he always found too much pressure when it got to the parts of the ground that mattered.
And you've got to give a nod to Hardwick as well, because he was confident enough to put Garthwaite on Hawkins so that Rance could pick up Danger when he went forward.
Yep.
He said, you know, he's more dangerous than Hawkins, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my best defender on him.
Young G. Ablett getting himself back into form nicely too.
He's done all right.
He had a great game, actually.
He's done all right.
Yeah, I thought he was probably best on ground. Him and probably me, Blitzar, best on ground for Geelong.
Do you think it's the...
And probably, no, probably best on ground, because I thought it was more of a team effort from Richmond.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you think Ablett's benefiting from not having to travel as much?
I'm betting he's benefiting from giving a fuck. Yeah. Also, I don't know if he did that the last few years.
And also some legitimate facilities as well.
Yeah. And he's got better teammates around him too. Yeah. Let's not muck around.
But still, you see when, obviously he makes a good play and he's one of his teammates fucks it up, the utter look of disgust that no one else is as good as him.
And he didn't travel for the last 2 years with Gold Coast anyway.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck that, I ain't going. You enjoy Cairns, fuckers. I'm staying here, combing my hair. All right, so that puts the Tigers back on top, although West Coast have obviously got a game in hand.
Yep.
So let's have a look through to round 14, which, again, we've got Thursday night footy, which is Essendon travelling all the way over to play West Coast. Fairly simple.
You'd have to be ambitious to tip Essendon here.
Over, under on 10 goals?
Honestly, I think it'll be over, because West Coast will want to get that win back, having travelled all the way across.
Win puts them back on top, obviously.
Will, yeah.
And they will want a percentage booster, and they will be ruthless.
Yeah, I'm going 6 goals.
Okay, under on the 10 goals. Friday night footy, Port Adelaide hosting Melbourne.
I'm looking forward to this.
Cracker game.
Yeah.
And Melbourne play better against Port Adelaide than anybody else.
And they play well at Adelaide Oval too. They've beat the Crows there twice in the last 2 years, I think. Like, beat them.
Yeah.
Had it been this year? Or was it last year? Or both?
No, they beat Adelaide in Alice.
Alice, all right.
They play quite similar games too. Like, they're both based around a strong midfield, a marking forward, and a top level ruckman. Gorn v Ryder, you know, if we can see it.
It's the athlete versus the old school, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, going to be great to see. And again, I think it's going to be Paddy beating him a fair bit in the middle, but around the ground, Gorn taking him to school. Well,
the other thing is, Gorn will play 90% of game time, whereas Paddy will play 60-70. So when he goes off, they're in trouble.
Yeah, and do you bring Jack Watts back in just so that the whole team gives him shit and he takes some pressure off the other rest of your teammates?
Well, like I said, it's been a good year for the returning players.
Yeah.
Although Trengrove lost last weekend, but I think more have won than have lost. So you bring him in for the luck factor.
Yeah. I think Port will put him in, but only so they can put a Melbourne Guernsey on him and then make him their problem.
Yeah, like, oh, they got too many people on the pitch.
But no, I want Port here, because I think there's just little things that
they
I think
need
they
to get
do.
Number one. Minor premiers.
But
it's a tough call, though. Ought to be a good game.
Ought to be spectacular. To see how, if Homsch and Jones are in the same region, it'll be the battle of the hard heads. It's going to be great to watch.
Do you mean Homsch or do you mean Ollie Wines?
No, that's a square head.
Yeah, okay.
Homsch is a hard bloke, and so is Jones. That's what I'm going with.
Fair enough.
I don't think...
I never thought of Homsch as a hard bloke, that's all.
Yeah, he's a pretty tough bastard. But I don't think Wines wants to headbutt Jones. Jones is old school tough.
That's the old, immovable object and irresistible force. Viney, I think he played one or two games back from injury and then had the bye. So he'll be ready to go. I think this will be when he gets back up to speed.
Yeah.
Guys, it's a tough game. Tough game to tip.
It's tough. I'm going Melbourne in a close one.
Yeah. I'm talking myself into... I know I've already done my tips and I've tipped Port, but I'm talking myself into Melbourne.
That's when you lose, though. That's when you change your tip. You're like, fuck, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Always. Saturday, Hawthorn are taking Gold Coast down to Tassie. I think we're just going to try and freeze them out.
I'm not tipping Gold Coast the rest of the season.
Hawthorn lost to 18th place Brisbane. I mean, Gold Coast are going to win one more game this year.
Yeah, are they though? In Tasmania?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Jager Amir has been gearing up. He had 30 touches and a lot of hardball gets and breaking out of tackles.
Yeah.
I'm still going to tip Hawthorn. I reckon they'll have a lot of broken tackles.
I think if you're the Gold Coast here, a win is getting every player back on the plane.
Yeah.
Because if some of them try and claim asylum, you're going to have a struggle to keep them.
Yeah, in Tassie, though. I mean, they're going back. They might not play again, but they're going back to the beaches and Gold Coast, let's be honest.
But
Tassie has whiskey.
Not enough. Besides, Gold Coast players are into Coke. Yeah. Brisbane are hosting the Giants.
You don't put Coke with whiskey, motherfucker. Yes, you do. Not good whiskey.
You're perfect.
No,
GWS and Brisbane, we didn't get a...
Well, I mean, you've got to go to GWS, and I think it's going to be 7 goals.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big one too. Yeah, I think they're just gearing up. Brisbane are showing, you know, life, but without Charlie Cameron, that takes away a lot of their goals.
Yeah.
Bulldogs and North at Etihad Stadium. Perfect timing for North.
Well, Bulldogs have lost their major players. Bontempelli probably not at 100%, but probably get over the injury enough to play.
I think he's got a test, but he'll play.
Well, he has to, just for the fact that I think they're down to about 20 fit players now.
Running out of numbers,
I'm going North, but this is the sort of game they could lose, but I don't know how.
The North are far too tall. Yeah. Even with all their players back, they're just far too big.
This is where blast-kicking is the best idea.
Yeah, just bomb it long and high. You reckon Jared Waite can come back? He missed the last two before the bye.
I'm sure he's asking to, because this is the sort of game he could tear up.
Tune up, isn't it?
Him, Mason Wood, and Ben Brown are just like, motherfucker, one of us has got to sit on their ass, and it ain't going to be me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're all North there, aren't we?
Yeah. Yep.
Easy. And on the Sunday, Collingwood up against Carlton.
I want a reason for Carlton to do well here, but there isn't one.
No.
In the past, they're the kind of ones where there is absolutely no reason, and yet Carlton rise against Essendon or Collingwood.
Yeah.
I still can't see it, though. No, really.
For a quarter, maybe.
Collingwood are absolutely killing it.
They're a deserved sixth.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they're top four material yet, but they're playing good footy.
I agree, but...
good to watch
footy. I think it's going to be 10 goals.
There is no reason in the world you'd tip Carlton here unless you hate money. And even though I'm rooting for the underdog, and I would like seeing Collingwood lose, but it ain't happening here. It just will not.
No. They're travelling a little bit too easy at the minute.
I can't see them winning one matchup.
Yeah, I can't see them winning a quarter.
No.
All right, that'll do us for round 14. I can't wait to get back to,
full rounds of footy.
Full rounds of footy.
Yeah, but, there's lots of soccer to watch at the moment, so I'm kind of glad they've broken up a little bit.
Yeah, it's on late. It's on too late for me.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do us.
Good luck. Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.